Hello and welcome to the EY UK and Ireland Workforce Matters podcast, where our People Advisory Services specialists cover a range of issues surrounding talent, HR and mobility. Today we're joined by Chris McCormack, who's a director in our Workforce Advisory team. So welcome, Chris. Why don't you start by telling us a bit about yourself and what you're here to discuss today?
Hi, yeah. So a little bit about me. I've been 25 plus years in industry in various Director of Learning roles. And I've had over 4 years now working in EY, and currently, as you mentioned, Director of Learning and Leadership within Workforce Advisory. And what I'm here to do really is to talk about the future world of work, the renewed focus on learning and leadership as a competitive advantage as we start to move in and start to embrace digitisation.
Yeah, massively relevant. So interesting. So what changes are you seeing in the market at the moment, and what impact is that having on organisations?
Yeah, well, so there's so many. You know, the rise of the modern learner is crucial. We've got four generations in the workplace now, which is a real difficult challenge for most organisations in terms of learning style, learning modality, what sticks, what doesn't. You've got baby boomer and Generation X and Generation Y in there. So it's a real conundrum. It's a real difficult thing for organisations to work out what's best. And we've got so many different mega trends. We've got the rise of the gig economy. So we've got, you know, guys who are joining organisations who would maybe in the past look to join an organisation for life, and who are now thinking around maybe 10 jobs or so in their lifetime, maybe 20 jobs in their lifetime is going to be an average, a normal way of doing things. So there's so many different things that are affecting our organisations right now. And again, the other factor is obviously digitalisation is everywhere. You know, the rise of the robot, artificial intelligence, RPA, blockchain, it's everywhere. We see it in our organisation, and we see it in organisations everywhere. So again, it's that how do the guys embrace that, and are ready for that challenge, and think about the human elements that will actually work and dovetail with that.
Yeah, it's almost what does it mean for you now? So when organisations are looking at their learning strategy, what should they be taking into account given the changing needs of the modern learner that you just discussed?
Mm. Well, it's interesting. There's loads of different research out there. And a recent piece of research that really stuck with me was 65% of current learning in corporate organisations is wasted.
Wow.
65%. It's a massive, massive amount. And it seems like a bold statement. But in discussions that we have with organisations currently, it seems true. Mm. It seems as if that would be about an average, that would be about right. So there's a whole host of materials, of content that just doesn't seem to hit the mark for what learners really need now. Most learning functions struggle to move to new ways of working. They seem to be stuck in the same sort of standardised design and delivery approach, and they also seem to have an existing learning management system that's a bit old, it's a bit clunky, and it doesn't really draw the learner in. Modern learners
haven't reviewed it for so long.
Yeah, absolutely. And modern learners, you know, demand consumer grade technology. These are guys who are utilising every social media channel going, where it's complete high definition, ultra high definition, short, sharp, snappy bites of learning. So they expect that now. That's something that when there's a blurring of the lines between what happens outside of work and expectations for what I can get inside of work, and it's, you know, prevalent within that learning element too. They expect, you know, quite rightly expect a range of curriculum that's suited to their needs, rather than a bland kind of wide catalogue of e-learning modules that have been bought off the shelf that are not targeted. Mm. And they also want to get involved. That's something that we're finding. Modern learners want to be able to share. They want to share their knowledge, they want to share their ideas, they want to collaborate.
So more of a two-way learning than just the sit and, you know, watch a video to learn.
Completely. I mean, we refer to it as flipped learning, because it kind of goes against the grain of a traditional, you know, command and control learning function that will actually spit out X amount of programs per year. This is about true collaboration, and it's also about that real-time connectivity with your people. It links so closely to engagement and so closely to length of service that guys will give you. If you get that right, that learning element right, they'll tend to stay with you. The good guys will stay with you.
Yeah, and it gives a platform for feedback, I suppose, as well, which means you're almost, you know, benchmarking yourselves and improving your service to your people.
Absolutely. And it's a really interesting one for us. You know, we understand that for organisations out there, it's difficult. You know, this is not an easy conundrum. This is something that I would say in the last 5 years, out of my, you know, 25 plus years experience, it's the last 5 years I've noticed such a pace of change. And for organisations out there, it's a tough thing to come to grips with, especially when they've already invested in curriculums, they've invested with suppliers, they've invested with learning management systems that unfortunately are now not fit for purpose. Mm. And they have to be brave and bold around what they do next in order to connect with their staff. There's three things for me when putting the modern learner at the heart of your learning strategy, that there's three key elements that I certainly feel you need to incorporate, and through discussions with clients this has come through every single time. Number one is learner centricity. So the creation of you know, impactful specific learner journeys, so you know exactly what's going to come next for you. Blending knowledge, attainment and sharing with that behavioural shift. But that learner centricity is absolutely key. The second one, as I mentioned earlier, was the role-specific curriculum. Focusing on you know, specific interventions that link directly to what's expected of you in role. And what I would say here is less is more. What we tend to find is large, you know, some organisations can pride themselves on having a vast library of materials that are accessible 24/7.
Overwhelming.
And it's completely overwhelming. And this is what we find. Our research and our studies tell us that learners out there are not interested in that. They actually want the learning function to be able to sort that out for them and provide a real clear pathway of what's important for them. So less is more. Make sure that learning is bite-sized, make sure it's fun, make sure it's memorable. Mm. And finally, the most important one for me is that organisational embedding. There's so many change and transformation programmes going on across organisations. So how does learning fit with the overall strategy of your organisation, and how is it supported through that ongoing curation of content? So rather than just having bespoke content from different areas, how do you curate the best? So using things like TED Talks and you know, various sources.
So much out there.
And it's easy to find. So the guys will find it anyway. So it's much better to be in the front foot and help them with that. And I would also say coaching is the other key part around that organisational embedding. And again, we find that the modern learner embraces that. They are happy to have those conversations to learn in the moment and put it into practice. So again, those three things for me were learner centricity, having a role-specific curriculum, and make sure that you think about organisational embedding of the learning.
So the bigger picture, definitely. Mm. So those are some really great pointers for businesses who are perhaps, you know, a little further along in reviewing their strategy. But do you have any tips for how organisations can get the best out of their existing learning functions?
Mm. That's a great question. And I think that the key question, again, we feel each kind of organisation or chief learning officer must ask this question is, how can my learning function boost its productivity by showing how it increases profitability for the business in a consistent way? We've seen over the years learning functions that can sometimes just churn out a range of programs, and they're satisfied based on the volume that they've churned out. Mm. What we are finding is, you know, organizations really need to show that how it's increasing productivity. Learning function needs to be at the heart of the strategy to increase productivity. And learning functions can sometimes be stuck in a kind of ivory tower, you know. You know, it's sometimes they're there, they will have some great people there and some great research and some decent design, but ultimately they can be found to be away from the heat of the action.
Yeah, nice to have if I've got time, you know.
Yeah, they're just, you know, they're a bit further away, and are they really up to date in terms of knowledge processes, and sometimes just the pressures of the role that they're actually trying to design for. So for me, you know, the role of the learning function needs to be as a real-time curator of content. How do you pull all of this materials, and there's so much, but how do you pull that together in a way that's really engaging? And also, how do they look at themselves as a coach to support the ongoing individual and team learning? This is, for me, absolutely crucial. We're seeing traditional operating models being replaced with a kind of more agile approach, you know, focuses on that real-time element of learning in the moment. And facilitation and embedding of key content is where you're really going to add quality and value. And it's a big step sometimes for learning functions, because sometimes they're not prepared or ready for that. But certainly we are seeing organisations that do that tend to outperform other organisations that are not.
Yeah, and presumably that's because it frees up more time then to focus on strategy and be more involved in the action that you talk about, and taking on more of a coaching role.
Absolutely. I mean, the learning function needs to ensure it has credibility, and you're only going to have credibility by being really close and really in the middle of the strategy, not something that's a nice to have, but you're a middle part of that, and you're an influencer on overall productivity.
Yeah, absolutely. So how can businesses make sure then that they have the right people in the right place doing the right thing at the right time?
Wow, that's a big question in every sense of the word. I think, you know, there's so much to go on with that question, and I think that looks right across the full talent spectrum, and we probably don't have enough time on this particular discussion to go into huge detail. But there's areas around recruitment and areas around career options, which are absolutely key factors in there, and especially the career options piece, which really looks around how you can move sideways in organisations rather than a traditional moving continually up the way. But so we see a range of responses time and again in organisations to the question you asked, and the focus for me tends to get round to team dynamics. Team dynamics is it's a really important and growing trend around how well your team's team for success. And right now what we are seeing a growing request and demand where we are noticing that team dynamics in organisations have become at best stale, or in worst case scenario, it can negatively affect personal performance, and sometimes has an effect on the health and well-being of employees. That's pretty shocking, you know, and organisations sometimes, they won't have the answer to this. But in terms of that focus on team and the dynamics within the team, we've found that that goes a real long way to working out how do we get the best out of our people, how do we ensure that they're turning up for work in the way that we want them to turn up. Are they actually ambassadors for our brand? These are all linked to that whole team dynamic piece. So as I say, what we tend to see is when organisations are preparing for like a major transformation programme, or sometimes once that transformation programme is complete, that's when we're actually beginning to see the whole kind of team dynamics come to play. And again, you've got a real true opportunity there to shake your organisation and provide the principles that will drive the behaviours that you want to see. The role of the leader is key in all of these circumstances, and I'll talk about that a little bit later. But being able to truly understand your team behaviour, how it plays out on a daily basis, is becoming more and more prevalent across the board. And for us, we look at a high-performing teams model. And that model for us allows organisations to look at three things. It allows them to understand the key dynamics at play across their team. It allows them to map themselves against a model that encourages open and honest communication. And finally, it allows them to measure themselves against high-performance indicators. And we're finding that works. It's simple enough, but it is so powerful when we get those teams to really start to galvanise and to get behind a common purpose.
It's amazing there's a framework that you can use for that.
Absolutely. And again, in this digital age, it's that human connection. The importance of teaming and human connection has never been greater. And as I say, that it's one of those things where we're just seeing a growing demand and request for that type of service.
Can absolutely see why. So I guess this leads on to how to be human in a digital world. So how can you prepare leaders to lead successfully in the digital age?
Well, yeah. So, leaders, as they look to engage with a workforce, as I mentioned earlier, that includes up to four different generations.
Have a task.
Yeah, there's a task on its own. And then you've also got that rise in the adoption of digital tools and strategies. We just can often feel overwhelmed and struggle to progressively influence our teams. It's been commonly referred to as imposter syndrome, where leaders are suddenly in a situation where they think, hey, I'm not the guy with all the knowledge anymore.
Mm.
I used to be, but now everyone's got knowledge at their fingertips. So what is my role?
Yeah.
So it can be a very stressful situation. It can lead to lack of confidence, and it leads back to the previous question, which was around the team dynamics. You can actually see teams begin to crumble because their leader feels as if they're not ready or prepared for this new age that we live in.
Confidence in the digital world. Yeah,
absolutely. So what we're finding is traditional leadership development programs that they tend to stick to a formulaic model. You know, it's the same models have been in place now for the last sort of 20 to 25 years. And what we're finding is it tends not to embrace the sort of pace of change that leaders require. And that's a common theme that comes back. You know, it was a nice program to go on. I learned some things. The networking was fine, but it doesn't really hit the mark. It's not sustainable. It doesn't embed. And so what we're finding, we're utilising our global ecosystem of suppliers, you know, people at Oxford Said, Henley Business School, London Business School, and we've also got a wider range of assessment tools to provide innovative programmes that encourage two key components, experimentation and experiences. And most leadership programmes fail to grasp experimentation because when you experiment, you'll try things out and you tend to fail.
Mm.
And then you learn.
Yeah.
And then you come back stronger and all that great stuff.
Yeah.
But it's that element of being open and honest enough to fail and take that and go with it. When guys are at a certain position in their career, they can sometimes find that tough. So that's a big shift. But we find that when we're in that situation and we're running those programs, that is the biggest wow factor, and it's the thing that really makes it memorable. It allows it to stick and it allows it to sustain across an organization. And then we've got experiences. So this is where within the program itself we would look at, you know, face-to-face elements. However, it's the experiences on the back of the main program when the guys are back in their business areas that really allows it to come to life. And this is when we can do peer-to-peer mentoring and have different experiences that we set up. And we've seen the acceleration of leadership, insight and performance. And that's probably the key phrase that we have coming back from clients when we were involved in this. They say to us, things just seem to have accelerated because you've given the guys a license to try in a different way and understand concepts in a different way and really get it. So that's important in terms of preparing leaders to lead successfully. I mean, we've got some research as well. One of the key things we did, we've undertook a global leadership forecast last year. So in partnership with DDI and the Conference Board, we looked to gather insights from over 25,000 leaders across 2,500 organisations, across 54 countries. And the report eventually centred on 25 key findings about the future of leadership. Fantastic stuff, really, really interesting and really insightful. It helped to shape our own bespoke digital era leadership assessment. This assessment assesses 13 new digital leadership competencies. It provides strong correlation between leaders' digital readiness and their organisation's financial performance. It's a real proper barometer of performance in the digital age. So For me, leaders have a huge influence across your organisation if ever there was a time to utilise spend and budget appropriately to prepare your leaders for the future. It is absolutely right now.
That's so interesting, thank you. It sounds like it's sort of a change of mindset, isn't it? So if you were a business looking to update your learning strategy, there's so much great stuff there. Where do you start?
Wow. There's so many different places that you can start. For me, I think it's, well, one of the things for me, I find that organisations tend to be pretty insular whenever we've been there with recent clients. When we ask this question, when was the last time you had an independent current state assessment of your learning function or your leadership development programme? And it's important, you know, that the phrasing of that question, when was the last time you had an independent review? And what you'll tend to get back is, we've kind of done that. We had our internal team and we looked at how we spend, our budget spend. We looked at the top programmes that worked well, the difference they made. We look at regulation and but they've not had an independent current state assessment. And that's the one thing that I would call out. I think if you're a business out there, it is that time to get an independent view, to get a proper kind of warts and all look at what is working and what's not. And I think the other part of this that would affect learning strategy is what you want to gather is learner sentiment. You want to find out exactly how they're feeling about being in the organisation and how easy it is to navigate their way through learning opportunities for them. And it's only having that independent review are you able to pull together that type of information that provides a proper call to action. And it allows you to actually work out, you know, again, as I mentioned earlier, there'll be some things that organisations are doing well, but there's usually some glaring areas that that can be tidied up very, very quickly. But I would say that independent reviews are a key part of where we go.
Perfect. That's really helpful. Well, thank you so much for covering this really interesting topic today. And there's more information on your website, and there'll be some links in the blurb for this podcast.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
Thank you.